The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Steve Cowan.
Well, not this week, because it's episode 150 and we have rolled out a special guest to mark the occasion. It is the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I am Stephen Mill, but no Portadown Pelly this week, Steve Cowan. We have the man who put the Daz in the Daz doorstep challenge. It is Gordon Dalziel. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely brilliant, and let's not be kidding. I've not been rolled in here for the 150 episode.
No, yeah, right.
Steve Cowan's on holiday.
Aye,
I'm the replacement.
You are the replacement, but you're more than happy to be. So
we'll
I was just saying, like, you are actually happy-go-lucky guy, Daz. Like,
yeah.
I've never seen you crab it.
I'm not crab it. Never do. I don't see the point.
Even in your personal life, you're not crab
it? No, I'm very seldom crab it, mate. I'm CEO of all the best of things.
Well, we'll see what happens in about an hour's time, because you'll have to deal with producer John, who on this podcast is known as the sweaty octopus because he's all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, he's pushing buttons that didn't need pushed, fanning about. You've experienced a wee bit of that in the last 5 minutes.
I've experienced that for a long time with John now, obviously, with Super Scoreboard.
He's a big cheese now, though. He's got a promotion. Do you know that?
Has he?
He got a promotion, big cheese.
Oh, big cheese. What's he promoted to?
Christ knows. They just
pressing more buttons.
Aye, they put senior in front of his title instead of paying him more money, isn't that right,
John? That's pretty much it.
He'll probably get more holidays as well, John.
Well, he was on holiday last week. We had competent Scott in, and everything was very smooth last week. There was no problems. So I'll be back to the usual shambles this week. How are you, John? You all right?
Very well, thank you, Stephen. How are you?
Yeah, how was your break?
Were
you all
right? It was good, actually. Good, didn't do anything. Had a few drinks on Wednesday. Wee daytime, you know, that wee kind of session when you're off the next game day. You can go out on a Wednesday night. Went out on a Wednesday night to a pub quiz.
Do you like a wee day sesh, Daz?
Love a day sesh.
Yeah.
I prefer now, as you got older, a wee afternoon. And then back home for about 8 o'clock.
Back up the road for match of the day at half 10. That's what you want.
See, when you were playing, was there a night you went out every week?
Yeah.
What night?
Saturday.
So every Saturday?
Every Saturday. I used to take my change of clothes if I was in a away game, changing the team bus.
Aye.
And I'd leave my suit and I'd get it on the Monday. So my procedure was Saturday night out, Sunday afternoon, meet the boys about 1 o'clock. And have a wee afternoon, 1 o'clock to five, up the road, and then back for training Monday.
But you didn't go during the week?
No, never.
I was listening. Who was I listening? I was listening to a podcast, Des Walker, right, when he was at Nottingham Forest. He used to like going out and getting, and he was like, when I went out, it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning job. And he said 2 days before he played, he says he started doing it when he was about 20, 21. So say they were playing on a Saturday, he'd go in a Thursday night, right, and get absolutely smashed. And, you know, stagger through training on Friday, day five aside, and then he'd be like, on the Friday night, I would have an amazing sleep. I'd have a big scran, and then I felt $1 million for the game on Saturday.
It's incredible. By the way, I tell the best one about that. I was a manager of Raith Rovers, and my assistant manager was a lad called Sean Dennis, who's passed away.
Yeah.
And Sean was a brilliant lad, and he hadn't trained, hadn't played, he'd sort of retired. And he had the wee pub, Starts Bar, down the road. And on the Saturday, I was travelling up. And we had so many call-offs. And I'd phoned him. And I said to him, listen, I've got bad news for you. We're playing St Johnston today. I think I'll need to play you with two centre-halves. Just move them about. And he says to me, I'll get you at the pub at 5 o'clock this morning. Right? I says, well, you better take a curer, because you're going to be playing at 3 o'clock. And this is true. He turned up. He had a can of beer, right? He had a can of beer, he square his cell up.
Hair of the dog.
Hair of the dog. Put his strip on, went out on a park and was man of the match, and we beat St Johnson 1-0.
What year was that?
That was about
ten years ago. No,
10 years?
No, longer than that.
No, it couldn't have been.
No, it was longer than that.
When was I manager, Wraith?
I mean, you should know better than me, to be honest.
I must have been manager of Raith. About 15 years.
Wait a minute, I've got your Wikipedia up on it. So you were Raith Rovers fucking 20 years ago, 2004 to 2006.
Was it?
Aye.
I thought it was longer than that. Well, there you go then.
20 years ago, there you go.
20 years ago, Sean had the hair of a dog at 2 o'clock. He'd been drinking to about 4 or 5 in the pub. And John was a big drinker, loved a bevy, and walked out on a pitch, man of match, he was sensational. So I says to him, next week, you can have two cans of lager.
Was that something, like, even like back when you were playing and stuff like that, would the managers encourage you to have a drink the night before, or maybe like at lunch or whatever?
Depends. When I was at Man City, they used to be, I'd never seen it before, I went for Rangers to Man City, and before you went out, there were a bottle of whiskey on the table, and guys would just go up and pour themselves a nip, take a nip, and then go to the tunnel. I don't think that's true.
Really?
And I think that's where Gaza got the... But he took it to extremes. But I think that's where Gaza got the sort of initiative. I'd never seen it before. A big bottle of whiskey, and a lot of the lads just went up, filled the glass, took a nip, and straight to the tunnel, ready to play.
That'd be them. There you are. Mm. Anyway. Thanks very much for being here, though, Daz. I really appreciate it. You were at a concert last night, I believe.
I was at a tribute Eagles thing in the pavilion. It was absolutely brilliant. Went right. for a nice meal before it, and only because of... John, thinking outside the box, texts me about 10:30 mm-hmm. when I was in Glasgow, and I realised that I'd booked myself in for your show this morning.
You had, yeah, you had.
So exactly. I wouldn't have been here, let me tell you.
So it was a tribute act. What were they called? Was it
Eagles tribute act?
Just Eagles
know.
Tribute. Did they know idea. Who like had like?
Yes, they have.
Was it not some like Talon or something
that's
like that?
That's it, John. Is something like that.
The Pigeons or something like that.
Let me tell you, right? They were absolutely brilliant.
What Eagles songs do I know? Obviously, Hotel California.
Lying Eyes.
Take it easy. You'll
take it easy.
Lying Eyes.
Lying Eyes, do I know that?
Aye. Desperado.
Desperado yeah. tune.
Come on. Eagles. Yeah. Eagles are one of the best. No,
it was Don Henley in the Eagles.
Yeah. Yes.
Don Henley, right. Okay.
He wasn't there last night. But.
No, because it was a tribute band, obviously. But.
One of the only, the 10 greatest selling albums of all time, right? There's a couple of greatest hits in there, and Eagles is one of them.
All right, okay, fair enough.
They are sensational. That'll change your life if you put music on, drive and listen to Eagles.
Right, okay, change my life.
That'll
That's
change
fine.
Your
I've,
life.
Well, I think it's to be fair, I've seen you do karaoke as well.
I'm not bad.
You were all right. It was Elvis Burning Love that I saw you do. So about 30 years
that
ago.
That wasn't karaoke, mate. That was live.
Right.
That was not karaoke.
What do you mean?
I wasn't reading with the tune. I was singing with a band.
Why? How did that even come about?
I was the manager, 2002 or 2004. Yeah, I was the manager of Raith Rovers at the time. And it was, we were raising money for charity. And the girl in the band had says to me, look, any chance that you'll come up and do a song with us?
Aye.
And I says, right, okay, pick your tune. And it was Burning Love.
Right, okay.
And I know.
Why'd you pick that one? You're an Elvis fan?
No, really, no, but I just thought that would suit my voice.
By the way, it was actually all right. Like, I've seen a lot worse.
To be fair, I had a few sherbets in me when I was going to say.
Obviously, loads to chat about in terms of the football. As we are recording this, we're just after 11 o'clock on Monday morning. It looks like Danny Rowle is going to be the new Rangers manager. Lots of journalists reporting that as well. John, if you could probably do some work and maybe just keep an eye in case they actually announce it this morning.
I'm on it.
On it, like a car bonnet. So we've got that. We've got Hearts top of the league. We've got Celtic getting beat. We've got everything else as well. Some feedback for the show last week as well. A pod in less than an hour. Wouldn't have this from the sweaty octopus. Smooth running under competent Scott. That's from Query89. Albert's 11 legend. Calling Rangers fans delusional about who we want to appoint based on what? Social media. A bit of research and listening to podcasts, etc. You would find Robinson's name and the like to steady the ship have been mentioned numerous times. Don't just take opinions from social media. Obviously, we're on Super Scoreboard on Saturday. I'm guessing that kind of dominated the chat. It's not going to be Kevin Muscat now. It's obviously not going to be Steven Gerrard. Looks like Danny Rowe. Initial thoughts.
I'm waiting for him to pull out again.
Yep.
And I reckon Broxy Bear will be
yeah, probably.
I think he'll be in the dugout for the next game.
High Sodium says, as if Cowan isn't using his own backwards logic to downplay why Celtic fans are upset, to argue the opposing side, the following by Cowan standards, we should all just pack up in Europe and don't even bother and drivel. Right, thank you very much. Right, let's get to it then. In terms of, we'll start with Rangers. We've started that, I guess. 2-2 draw with Dundee United on Saturday. Obviously not an ideal result. It was Stevie Smith that was in charge. Rangers have not won a league game at Ibrox this season, and we're what? Coming for the end of October. That's mental.
Yeah. Do you know something? I'm not surprised. Everybody keeps telling me this Rangers team, it's a new manager coming in, they blame Russell Martin. New manager will come in, get a tune out of them. I don't see a tune in them. I really don't. I really was angry with myself because we'd done a prediction at 3 o'clock on Saturday for Super Scoreboard, and I said I fancied Dundee United to get a draw, and then I sort of bottled it and I thought, well, surely Rangers are going
like
to get
you.
Surely they're going to get a result at Ibrox. Russell Martin took the heat, rightly so. Some of his decisions, interviews were shocking, bad appointment, but some of the players need to take responsibility. They're poor. Mm-hmm. They really are poor.
See, as well, like, with this takeover, like, we were getting a lot of this last season on the podcast as well. I'm sure it was the same on Super Scoreboard. That, you know, this would cut out all the nonsense at Rangers, this takeover. This was going to be the best thing ever. It's what the club needed. It's been a shambles, an utter shambles since they came in. The appointment of Russell Martin, terrible. Kevin Thirlwell coming in. Patrick Stewart still stinking the place out as well. It's almost like things are worse than what they were about 8 months ago before the takeover happened.
Surprising that, because in the summer you're thinking, right, they need a structure. You talk there about Stewart and Thirlwell. They come in as part of the structure. They are, how they're still there is beyond me, right? They are absolutely juicy, stinking the place out. They're all over the place with a manager. They put all their eggs in the one basket. They made the appointment with Russell Martin, then eventually had to admit that was a bad appointment. Their recruitment is terrible for me.
And they've spent, what, £30 million? Pounds? The boy Chermitti, now, obviously he's not scored a goal in about 5 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't look like he's ever going to score. Like, you look, down the M8 at Hearts, and they've signed Claudio Braga. 8 goals, probably a fraction of the price of what they've paid for Chermitti. £8 million, possibly rising to 10. The recruitment has been so bad. So if it is Danny Rowe coming in, he's got a squad of what to deal with.
How can you go back to him as a board after he ruled the sellout? How can you go back to that? And how can he accept a job knowing that he wasn't getting the job? The first choice was obviously Steven Gerrard. Mm-hmm. He knocked him back. Muscat was a stick on. He's knocked him back. And now they're back to square one again.
And Danny Rowe pulled out. Exactly. That's the thing. Because he knew he wasn't getting the job, he pulled out again.
Yeah, and now he's back in as number one.
I just wonder as well, because I read something else this morning, that Norwich are about to sack their manager and Danny Rowe was in and about that as well. Uh-huh. Maybe that's forced Rangers' hand a wee bit to push the ball out.
I'll tell you what's forced their hand. They're panicking. They need a manager, and everybody's knocking them back. So you've got to ask yourself a bigger question here. The elephant in the room is, why is guys who are desperate for that Rangers job knocking it back? Steven Gerrard's an unemployed football manager that was desperate to come back. He had all his staff in place, flies over to London, and strangely says, timing's not right, leaves. Muscat's a stick-on, an absolute stick-on to come into the building now. He knocks it back.
You're not saying exactly what I think you're saying, but in terms of, do you think these guys have come across, had one look at the guys that are there and went,
100%.
Absolutely not. I'm not working with them.
100%. 100%. There's something, you're not telling me, it's not nothing to do with money, because they would know the money, the agent would know the money.
Yeah.
Most of that stuff would have been discussed. Then what you do is you sit down as a manager and you say, right, okay, where's the structure of the club? How's it going? What's my saying this? What the transfers, everything about it. Now, you know the structure of the club that you won't have total control of transfers, because the modern day manager doesn't, does it? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You look at any club now, they don't have total control. They have a big say, but they don't have total control. So they'll know that as well. But they've sat down with these guys. This is Rangers you're talking about. This is a massive football club, a great job to get in Scotland. And managers are knocking it back left, right and centre.
Do you think the new owners have underestimated the job they had on at Rangers, first of all? And secondly, I've been speaking about this the past couple of weeks. Now Rangers are part of this sort of like consortium of teams, effectively. Mm. You've got Leeds, you've got the 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers. Rangers are at the bottom of the pile when it comes to that. Now, I think Rangers are a bigger club than Leeds, but Leeds are in the Premier League. So, they're more important to this.
More money.
Do you think they've bitten off a wee bit more than they can chew here? They've underestimated the job that A, needed done, and B, they've also underestimated the time that you get in a sort of bubble in Glasgow like this?
Probably. I think they probably looked at the situation. I don't know if they've underestimated the job, because they know Rangers are a big club. They knew it had to get back. Look, you've got to say they invested money, right? Where they've got it wrong is, and it's plain as the nose in your face, they've picked the wrong people. You look at the people that are running the club, they're all over the place. How can you sit back and let someone make decisions on, as you say, Chermiti. Mm-hmm. Where is it? See if I'm owning that club, I'm sitting him down and I'm asking him, give me the evidence why we're spending 8 to 10 million on this guy.
Do you think, and I think like a lot of people who work down south are probably guilty, or they are absolutely definitely guilty of this. They're like, oh, well, he didn't manage in the Premier League, but pff, it's only Scotland. Like, we'll put him up there, he'll score a few goals, we'll make a few quid, and then do you think it's complete snobbery on their part?
I can take that on board, but where I can't take anything on board with this situation is 8 to 10 million. That is massive money for Rangers.
Rangers haven't spent that amount on a player since Tory Andrew.
12 million, yep. Quid, right? So it's massive, massive money. You've also got to sit down and say, right, we've restructured the club. Tell me how your son at 26 is the best candidate for a job that we're giving him. It's nonsense. Why is nobody asking the questions? It's absolutely nonsense.
So say it's Danny Rowe that's appointed. It looks like it's going to be him.
I think there'll be an uproar here.
I was going to say, though, do you think A, there'll be an uproar, and B,
100%.
He'll be on a hiding to nothing?
100%. It'll be the new Russell Martin for me.
Do you think, Daz, that Rangers supporters would prefer someone like a Stephen Robinson as opposed to a Danny Rowe?
Oh, big question that. No, I don't think so. I don't think the Rangers will not want any of these. Stephen Robinson has been brilliant for St Mirren, right? But he's not the glamour name that Rangers
have. Of course,
are
yeah.
And do you know something? Sometimes that's a wee bit unfair because everybody deserves an opportunity. But none of these managers, this guy will come in. Now, remember, the one thing that Rangers supporters, any supporters don't like is, well, he ruled himself out of the job right away. He distanced himself. All of a sudden, we've went crawling back to him because we've nobody else. Let's be honest, they've nobody else. They've run out of options. They don't know where to go. They're just putting themselves out there, bringing him back in. He'll probably get more money. He'll get all the promises in the world because they need to fill a seat. And for me, they've went about it so wrong that they've turned... The supporter will be gone ballistic. I can't wait for us Super Scoreboard show tonight. The Rangers fans will be going ballistic with us.
Yeah, on the air from 6 o'clock, obviously. Just a wee word on Dundee United as well. They're sitting fourth in the league at this moment in time. Trapinovsky, though, really decent signing, scored plenty of goals. Craig Sybold, obviously, you'll know him from his Falkirk days as well, John. Like, Dundee United are solid. They're solid, aren't they?
Yeah, they'll build them down this season. They're that sort of a team. I think they're like Hibs. I think Kilmarnock. I think these, St Mirren, I think these are the teams that they'll have their wee spell where everything will go great for them. Then they'll take their wee dip because they've not got the quality to last a full season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
but
just
they're looking, a good side, Dundee United.
I'm looking at the table now. Obviously, they're fourth. Hibs hadn't won since the opening day of the season, and that sent them up to third. Like, so the league is tight. Between third and really down at the bottom, there's only 5 points separating. I know it's early days as well. There's only 3 points separating third to 12th at this moment in time. So Dundee United, in and about the top six?
Yeah, I would imagine. I think they've got a good enough squad. I think they've recruited well.
They'll be annoyed not winning on Saturday, obviously, as well. We're leading.
See, to be fair, right, okay. I heard Jim after the game, his interview, saying disappointed not to leave with 3 points. I don't agree with that because I think Rangers battered them for the first half, right? I thought Rangers should have been probably outside, should have taken more chances and probably put Dundee United away. I thought Dundee United, brave move, a substitution at half-time, takes off his top goal scorer, and you're thinking, oof, that's a move because you're needing a goal to get back in the game. And Dundee United were excellent. And forget about how poor Rangers were. Dundee United were excellent. Give them a bit of credit. So I think a draw was a fair result going on the first half and the second half.
Aberdeen winning for the first time in Paisley for 7 years, and what a goal it was as well. Lazetic, it was. I saw people comparing it to Dimitar Berbatov this morning.
Oh, right, okay.
Turn on the touchline, great finish in at the back post. Aberdeen beginning to pick up a wee bit of heady steam. That's two wins in a row. Jimmy Tillin is not going to be the new Sweden manager. Looks like Graham Potter has got that job. I think that might have been even announced actually as well. So things are beginning to turn around. It looks like he's finally, the penny's dropped with Jimmy Tillin, that he might need to change formation and change his style of play every so often.
Yeah, because he's got good players, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got good players from the goalkeeper all the way. He's got a guy, Nisbet, up front that can get goals. He's no on fire just now, but he certainly can do that. it was important for them to get a win at St Mirren. That's, and obviously St Mirren, talking with Stephen Robinson, that's two defeats in a row for them. They went for 37th.
Yes. I mean, that is tight. But it works both ways, I suppose. You're right, that's St Mirren down to 7th. But, you know, Aberdeen have got a game in hand over, well, Livingston below them, Dundee. And I think, like, if Aberdeen can string a few results together, they're at home to Hibs this Sunday, which will be a big match, obviously. But if they can win that, all of a sudden they could be up to 4th and 5th. And after what was a disastrous start to the season for Aberdeen, it's actually looking all right now.
Yeah, listen, we talk about how great Motherwell's been. They've dropped down to 10th.
Huh?
You know what I mean? With one defeat against Falkirk. You're right, and that's why I said Dundee United, Kilmarnock, St Mirren's, Motherwell's, Aberdeen, they're all going to be the same. They're going to be up and down. There's no consistency there from these teams. That's a problem. Because they're all a bit of...
Much.
Yeah, exactly. But you go on a wee run, you get the points on the board, it gives you that wee bit of breathing space near the end of the season if you're in trouble. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, I expect Aberdeen to start climbing the league. I think they've got too good a squad.
Talking of Motherwell, you mentioned them there. Robbed on Saturday, obviously, against Falkirk. I can't believe some of the refereeing decisions there as well. You should be embarrassed to speak about this, John, really. Motherwell 1, Falkirk 2. A very, very fortunate win for Falkirk, indeed. First half, John, you were there at the game.
Yes, I was.
Have you seen Falkirk receive a battering like that?
It was the worst we've played in several years. We were absolutely terrible. Motherwell, I mean, the thing is, the Lanarkshire Galacticos, right, they can pass and pass and pass and they're great at that, but they really didn't have an end product. They should have been like miles ahead in that first half, but the problem is they don't have an end product, and that's the complaint with Motherwell and from most of their supporters as well, because they were a great passing side, great to watch, but Falkirk got their finger out in the second half and we actually started playing like Falkirk. God knows what John McGuinn said to them at half time, but introduction of Philip Lisa on the left hand side was really, really important, and he just added the impetus to it. He drove forward straight away, and I think in the end we were actually deserved of our win in that second half performance.
You're always going to say that, John.
I heard you on Super Scoreboard, Daz.
Yeah, exactly. Motherwell absolutely played you off the pitch, but you're right, it's okay saying you're playing brilliant football. Motherwell are, and they're getting all the plaudits in the world for it, and rightly so, but it's all about the 3 points, isn't it? It's all about that end product, getting the ball in the back end, eh? And
they've only won one game so far this season.
I know, that's what I'm saying. They go to Hearts, and for the first half, absolutely batter Hearts and 3-0 up and walk away with a point. They've got that in their locker just now. Nobody's got to complain with the style of football because everybody's loving that. But no disrespect to John there in the booth, you've got to beat Falkirk at home, surely. Because I've got Falkirk being real trouble this year, but tell you what, if John McLean can prove me wrong, I'd be delighted for him.
So would I.
He's brilliant. He's a great lad. Him and Paul Smith. I had Paul Smith at air. Know Paul very, very well. I would love them to stay in that league. I think it'll still be difficult because a long way to go and they've not got the biggest of squads. But when you've got a guy like Scotty Arfield that can come on and score your goals like that, you've always got an opportunity, haven't you?
His first goal for Falkirk in the Premiership and the top flight anyway for 15 years, and Falkirk move up to 8th with that win, and as you mentioned, Motherwell down in 10th. Hibs back on it, 4-0 winners against Livingston, as I mentioned a wee bit earlier on. They hadn't won since the opening day of the season. That's them up to 3rd. Hibs, again, much like Aberdeen, have good players. They've got a decent squad, but it's the consistency that's been the problem so far this season. And conceding goals as well.
Yeah.
I know they've sorted out the last couple of weeks.
Saturday was a big game for them. They had to get back into winning ways. They've got the firepower, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They've spent money. They've got a good squad. They've got a nice balance of experience as well in there, handling at the back. Yeah, you would imagine they could go on a wee run again. It's incredible, isn't it? You look at that league table. Hibs and Aberdeen were well adrift. All of a sudden, Aberdeen will start to climb. Motherwell's drops and Mirren's drop. Hibs are sitting in third. Look, well, you'll do this every second week, I think.
Aye.
You will. You keep a note to it and you'll be sitting going, see, 2 weeks ago, so-and-so was there. Look where they are now.
Yeah, totally.
But you're right with the points.
Livingston dropped to the bottom due to other results, obviously, as well. I mean, Livingston are going to be in and around the bottom of the table. I think we've all kind of accepted that. And away games against Hibs I think are they looking at that, you can get anything that's a bonus sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. The only team they can beat is Falkirk.
Yeah.
They've got the making of Falkirk, haven't they, John?
Olivia, aye.
Oh,
yeah. Jeez, don't I?
They want to play yous every week.
I know, aye. But it's been great. Obviously, talking to our friend and colleague Marvin Bartley, messaged them last night.
Oh, did you?
He wouldn't have been happy. Just to check in the shifts for this week, and I couldn't even help myself but saying, how'd you get on at the weekend? Didn't see the result.
Three big stories, really, in Scottish football over the weekend. This is obviously the next one, and it's Hearts going to Kilmarnock and winning by 3-0. I said on the podcast last week, I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now, that this was the big one, I thought, for Hearts anyway. Like, the Celtic game almost takes care of itself at Tynecastle. It's going to be a big game. But I think that's a real statement. Them going down to Rugby Park, Kilmarnock, who have been playing pretty well and difficult to beat at Rugby Park, obviously, and they go and win by 3-0. That is a big, big result.
It's the way they done it, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It was the way they played. I watched the game. Braga's
they were a wee bit wobbly. First 10, 15 minutes, I thought Kilmarnock started better than them. But then Hearts grew into the game. It was a great set-piece goal. Like, Halkett takes his header really well. And then Braga. Braga's been the signer of the season so far.
What about his finish when he takes a quick feet? Superb. I love that. Absolutely love that. He's been some signing. You're talking about guys like there's Shanklin as well. He looks a different player, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, confidence, but you know,
it's amazing what you do when you just play him up front.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Centre forward.
Yeah.
Centre forward. And you're looking at Rangers. There's an opportunity to go and get him for nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're talking about recruitment. Hearts have been different class. They never got off to the best start because, as I say, Motherwell absolutely battered them, right? But fair dues to Derek. He changed one or two things. The stadium was empty at half time, and they get back to 3-3. They were lucky to scrape Livingston. Livingston should have got a draw against Hearts, no doubt about that. They get knocked out the cup.
It's in Mirren on penalties, yeah.
Right. So all of a sudden you're going, it's not the best start in the world, but their league campaign now, and they will.
Let's, 5 wins on the spin.
They will fancy next week big time.
Of course they will. I mean, obviously, Celtic, we'll get to Celtic in just a wee second. We've already spoken about how much a shambles Rangers are. Hearts are never, ever, 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 ever going to get a better chance to do something this season.
I think there's a couple of teams like that. See if you can go on a run. I think this is the poorest that the Old Firm is. I think they're all over the place. I really do. I think we talk about Rangers being a shambles. Celtic are exact same.
Yeah.
The only difference is Celtic are sitting second in the league, 17 points. But Hearts are sitting there, and I think people, and it's very early, because let's not get carried away, right? It's very, very early. See if Hearts could do something against Celtic next week. I think you've got to start realising
that they're in about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were on another podcast earlier on this season. I've seen the clip a few times. You and Derek McInnes. Derek Ferguson, I should say.
Having a ding-dong.
Having a wee ding-dong. And you are extremely dismissive of Hearts and said there's absolutely no chance. Like, no chance.
Yeah.
If they beat Celtic on Saturday,
I'm starting to panic.
Yeah. I was going to say. You will hear that. That'll be a dance remix by the end of the season.
Yeah, the Hearts supporters will ram that right down my throat. And right, by the way, rightly so, because they have been in league sense, they've been brilliant.
Do you think they're in a better position, better all-round shape than what Aberdeen were last season? Because obviously we had all this conversation last season about Aberdeen. It went on for another 3 or 4 games actually for Aberdeen. I think it was kind of 12 games by the time it started, the wheels coming off. Do you think they're in a better position than Aberdeen were last season?
Yeah. Yeah.
Better squad, better manager.
Without a shadow of doubt, everything you said there. Their squad, you look at their substitutions at the weekend, who they're bringing on. You look at, for instance, and I wasn't a great fan of him, and I watched him on Saturday, and he was magnificent. It was Devlin, mm-hmm, in Midland Park. I always thought he was just a sort of an average player. He looks brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrific, the boy does. And that's just down to the fact that they're playing with confidence, he's got the right manager, he's working with the system that Derek's playing. They just seem to be a real good outfit, Hearts, and a good watch as well, exciting going forward. Yeah, I think if they can, as early as it is, and plus if I think if they get to January and they're still in the mix.
I was going to say, they've got the money now. Tony Bloom, a gambler by nature, if he smells blood, what's another 10 million? 10 million to Hearts is huge, is obviously huge, but 10 million to Tony Bloom is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they can bring in some more quality.
Yeah, and what a feather in the cap it would be for him to, you know, get something this year.
Yeah.
Because his first year with Hearts.
Here's something for you, right? Obviously Hearts play Celtic next week. Say they beat Celtic, they will go 8 points clear at the top.
Yeah.
Then there's a round of midweek fixtures. Hearts are away to St Mirren, Celtic are at home to Falkirk. They both win that. But then at the weekend, Hearts are at home to Dundee, and obviously Celtic are in League Cup action on the Sunday against Rangers. Hearts could be 11 points clear by the time we get to the international break, which is insane.
Yeah, unbelievable. Do you know something?
Obviously, if your auntie had buzzing and all the rest of it, but like, you know, like there's a lot of things that need to happen for
I think your biggest one now was, could Hearts win the league, right? You would probably still favour no. Right, you still favour Celtic as much as we'll go into Celtic, they're a shambles. But it's all the question was, can they split Celtic and Rangers? They're 13 points in front of Rangers at this moment in time. 13 points. Do you see Rangers making that up? That's the question for me. I think Hearts will definitely, right now, and I hate to say this, the way things are looking, they'll either finish first or second. I think I've already given in, because I look at that Rangers squad and I don't care who comes in there, right? I don't care. I look at that Rangers squad and they are weak. They are weak. There's no doubt. The recruitment's poor. I even look at Majowski, for instance. He's done nothing for me. Since he doesn't look the player it was at Aberdeen. Right, I don't know where it is. Maybe
service, probably.
Service, bigger club, bigger pressure put on your shoulders. That happens. I look at all those signings, and Kasama lights up the room sometimes. But apart from that,
yeah, huge result for Hearts, and really convincing as well in the end. 3-0 winners against Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock had won their previous two games. Kilmarnock, just very quickly, they're going to be in and around that sort of getting in the top six area as well.
Yeah, there are a few clubs like that. Kilmarnock, they'll be disappointed, but they can always bounce back. They're always a threat. Listen, if you don't go to Ibrox and fancy it, then you'd be better chucking it now, wouldn't you?
Oh, totally.
If I was a manager of a Premier League team now and I'm looking at my next fixture and it's Rangers at Ibrox, I'd be thinking, I'm up for that.
Yeah, that's on Sunday, obviously. Hearts Celtic's the early kickoff, and then Rangers Kilmarnock, 3 o'clock, as I mentioned, Aberdeen Hibs. Also on Sunday as well, because Aberdeen are in Europe this Thursday. Right, finally, the other big story from the weekend. Dundee 2, Celtic 0. Dundee absolutely deserved this. 100% deserved their victory against Celtic. Obviously, it's huge for them. It's only their second win of the season. They beat Livingston a few weeks ago. Takes them away out the relegation zone for now. They have played a game more than everyone else, obviously, because of that Livingston game. But, first of all, on Dundee in the positive side, massive win for them.
Brilliant. And I think you said the right thing there. They deserved it. Okay, Celtic had bags of possession, right? Fine. The Celtic have got better players. Let's be honest about it. So you've got to find a way of winning a game.
Yeah.
I thought his tactics were absolutely spot on. I thought they caused Celtic all sorts of problems. And you've got to give him a little bit of credit, because he went to Ibrox as well.
Yeah.
And he got a good result and maybe felt a wee bit unlucky not to get the full win there. Celtic, he hadn't beat Celtic at home. Well, no, him, Dundee. What's 37 years?
37 years, yeah.
37 years, think about that. 37 years. And Dundee are tipped by many to be relegated. I don't think they will. I think they've got too much. I really do. And he set up brilliantly. Done his homework and he got his rewards for it. And you've seen what it meant to Dundee players. I thought they over-exaggerated the win a little bit. You know what I mean? Come on. It's only Celtic and you're still in October, but it showed you how much it meant to them.
And they play Falkirk this Saturday at the Falkirk Stadium, which, John, that is already looking like a massive match.
It's huge. I would say, in going into these two games, 4 points out of the six would be great, but now we've beat Motherwell, I'm getting greedy and I want 6 points out of six, because I do think it looks like there'll be a mini league forms between us, Livingston and Dundee.
Motherwell as well.
Motherwell might get dragged into it as well, but you know.
We'll see what happens. In terms of Celtic then, and I think it's important to always point out the complete gulf and finances between Celtic and teams like Dundee. So when Dundee beat Celtic, I know you're saying like it's, you know, Celtic are in a shambles at the moment. They still have better players. They've got players earning probably 40, 50 grand a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. Brendan Rodgers, God knows how much he's getting paid per week. Shambles from Celtic. They never looked like scoring at all.
No, they were terrible. Absolutely terrible. It was just, to me, there was no substance to what he was doing. See, at half time, and Forrest comes on and
Kenny,
plays, and plays, and Kenny.
And he switched to three at the back as well.
It was like, what am I going to do? I just get bodies on the pitch. You know, there was no, and Brendan Rodgers has got this reputation of being such a brilliant coach, manager. He is getting away, he is honestly getting under the radar for me. Somebody needs to pop their head up and have a look at Brendan Rodgers just now. Because all he's doing is deflecting. Right, you can have your arguments with the board. I totally get where the Celtic fans are coming from. I know they're angry at the board and everything. You said it there. He's got a squad there that's earning fortunes and they've paid fortunes for that squad. Whether it's the one that Brendan Rodgers wants or likes, doesn't matter, right? He's not getting a tune out of any of them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think you're totally right. And what you're saying there about like all the protests against the board, I think the AGM might be this week as well, or certainly soon. They're all completely valid in terms of the transfer windows and stuff like that. Like, I completely agree with the Celtic fans in that they should be kicking on more than Europe when you look about their equivalent teams who are doing a lot better than them. However, Brendan Rodgers, he must be under severe, severe pressure now, because if they go to Tynecastle and get beat at the weekend, all of a sudden you're 8 points off the top. I mean, Celtic and Rangers managers have lost their job for less than that.
Yeah, he's not kidding the supporters on anymore, right? I think that Brendan Rodgers, look, you got to give him credit for what he's achieved when he come up here and the amount of trophies that he's won. But you're right, he's got to kick on. That's what Celtic managers and Rangers managers are supposed to do. I think that the Celtic fans right now, before Hearts, I think there'll be a lot of Celtic fans on this show this week wanting rid of Brendan Rodgers. I honestly do.
And you think that's valid? You think that's...
No, I don't.
Reasonable?
No, I don't, but I think he's got to improve. I think he's got to stop all his nonsense and talking about players and what he wanted in and whatever. He's got guys in the bench. Ingles, what, 10 million, 12 million, right? Yeah. He brought him in to improve him.
Somebody
he's
posted
put him backwards.
Somebody posted the team that started the second leg against Bayern Munich, and I think, you know, seven or eight of the players are still there. Now, fair enough, like, Jota's injured, so, like, you could probably take him. But, you know, it's still the main basis of the team. Johnson was out injured as well. But it's still the main basis of the team that ran Bayern Munich really, really close in February, and they could have snuck through into the last 16. Yeah. Like, it's just not happening. And I think, obviously, there's clearly problems between Brendan Rodgers and the board.
But that's that, right, okay, I accept that, right? But that doesn't mean to say you don't do your job
of
and
course.
Go and beat Dundee.
Of course.
He's got a guy that they brought into the building, I'm probably going to be hard on, Balak Wisha, right? He's dreadful. What did they spend on him?
Five million pounds.
Dreadful.
This is the thing. They were linked with that boy for Go Ahead Eagles, the Dutch team, and they didn't want to spend £5 million on them because they didn't think he'd work it. And then they've just spent £5 million on this guy who looks absolutely rotten.
And apparently what you hear is that Brendan Rodgers wanted that over the line. He wanted that signing in. He's not even getting a game. I actually sat and I watched him. I hate picking players, right? But I sat and I watched him yesterday and I just kept my eyes on him when he came on. And I'm not kidding you, I've never seen a player and I'm thinking, you're stealing money as a wage. Look, the boy might go somewhere else and play, or he might show me that in the next couple of months, ram it down my throat and say, oh, look how good I am. I watch him and there's nothing to him. But look, it's not just his fault.
Of course.
I think guys, and I've said it for ages, right? Everybody's a Callum McGregor fan. Callum McGregor shouldn't be in a situation where he never gets left out of the team, right? Celtic are playing slow pedestrian football, right? They're terrible. They're a bad, bad watch. And they've got so many, many good players, Celtic. But they just are a bad watch just now.
Do you think the players, like, obviously you've been a player, you've been a manager, if you're in a dressing room and you know that things aren't going well and you know that there's problems up above you, does that ever affect you? Do you think it's leaking out into the pitch as well? I'm not saying that that's an excuse. It shouldn't do. But do you think that the players can sense, oh, like, you know, he clearly wants out, or, you know, they clearly want rid of him? Do you think that affects them as
No, I think, listen, any player will tell you, see, when you get to play, you hear it all, you know what's going on in the club, right? But as a player, you're concerned with the manager and the board. You don't even bother with that. You maybe have a chat about it, driving, if you're driving to training or whatever. You'll be talking about, oh, the manager and the board, whatever. But when you go on that part and the referee blows a whistle, any player will tell you, that's your work, that's your football mode, that's what you've been looking. You don't think about what's going on off the pitch while you're on the pitch. You're thinking about, how are we going to win this game? We're under pressure to go and win this game. We need to win it because we're playing with Celtic. We're earning such money, and the demands for these Celtic supporters, rightly so. You don't think about the board, or you don't think about the manager, the fallouts or the divide with the recruitment, whatever it may be. Celtic they're a shambles just now. You're now looking at, see all these teams outside Celtic and Rangers. You'd be looking to play. Hearts must be licking their lips looking for Celtic to come to their patch at the weekend. Must be.
Where does Celtic go, though? Like, if Hearts do win on Sunday, that would obviously be a huge, huge result.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a foregone conclusion. Celtic have got the players and enough quality that they can go to Tynecastle and win. We're not saying that. However, Hearts are favourites to win on Sunday.
Well, if I had my last 50p, I'd be putting it in Hearts. But I will agree with you, right? I still look, and if you ask me now, and it's not a lot to go on, but if you ask me now who I still think's going to win the league, I'm still going to say Celtic, because I'm sort of in the camp of, they players are too good.
Yeah.
Right? And it's too good a squad to keep putting the performances out, right? But they're not scoring goals.
Yeah.
They look a shamble at set plays. They look easy to play against now. There's no energy about them. They're not that fast-flowing football that you imagined with Celtic when they played last year, and some of the games that were just destroyed teams. There's none of that. They're pedestrian. They play in front of you. They knock it about. There's not a threat going in behind. You look at the substitutions now. They're just throwing players on the park for me. There's no substance to what he's doing.
Do you think Rodgers is done?
No, you can't say that. Rodgers is a...
No, I don't, sorry, you misinterpret that. I don't mean done at Celtic. Done at Celtic.
Yeah, unless he can turn it around very quickly, and let's be honest, he can, right? Because he has got the players at his disposal to turn it around, right?
And they will sign players in January. Like, they have to sign players in January.
100%. You just wonder what's going through his mind. You know what I mean? If he's going through a bad spell. But the one thing, as I say, if I'm a Celtic supporter, I'm angry at the board, of course I am, right? But I'm also looking at what's happening from dugout to pitch. You cannot just dismiss that, right? You cannot blame the board. Don't go in there and play. The board don't pick that team. They don't make the substitutions, right? They don't. He's got quality at his disposal. Celtic should be doing a lot better. Let's not be kiddied here.
Can you remember a time that both Celtic and Rangers fans have been this unhappy and both teams have been this poor?
No, and I can't remember.
Like, even in the 80s, right? So when you were playing, you know, obviously Aberdeen, Dundee United, really strong sides. Hearts were a really good side in the 80s as well. It still didn't seem like it was like this. Or maybe, I mean, I wasn't alive, so I don't know.
No, it wasn't. Don't get me wrong. I played at times that Rangers fans had enough, and we were playing in front of 13, 15,000 at home. You know what I mean? Rangers fans just had turned off. But you never seen... Look, in those days, Aberdeen, Dundee United were the two teams that were obviously under Fergie that threatened, right? But for years upon years upon years, this is the first time and since Aberdeen, Fergie, Jim McLean, Dundee United, this is the first time I've looked at Celtic and Rangers and thought to myself, if there's a team out there big and brave enough and strong enough, this is your chance. This is your chance this season. And it's written there just now because of the start Hearts have got, because of the way they're going about their business. They brought in Derek McInnes. Everything's going well. They've got an owner that's going to invest if it keeps going the way it's going. What a chance for Hearts this year. You would kick yourself if you cannot get to the end of the season and say, we are right in the mix.
Okay, Championship then. Friday night, it was the Fife Derby. It was a 2-0 win for Dunfermline against a lacklustre Raith Rovers, your old team. Not playing well at all. A lot of unhappy Raith Rovers fans. That's three 2-0 defeats in a row for Barry Robson's men. And they never really threatened, to be honest, on Friday night. I thought it was probably one of the most comfortable games that I've seen Dunfermline play against Raith Rovers. Yeah. I mean, deserved to win, took our chances, and it was four without a win before that on Friday night at Dunfermline. John, did you see the game? Were you watching?
Good to see a Falkirk player helping Dunfermline.
Barney Stewart's going an overhead kick as well.
But what was the goalkeeper doing? Don't get me wrong, give the boy credit.
Aye.
I've got to say, I played in a lot of the games, right? I loved the games, and sometimes you would get... I played 14,000-15,000 mm-hmm. in the games, right? And Starts Park would be packed out every time we played. And there was a passion, there was a bit of pace, there was a bit of sort of a little bit of needle. I watched for about 40 minutes on Friday night, and I totally switched off it. Mm-hmm. I really did.
The atmosphere wasn't great. There was only about 6,500 there, which is still okay decent for a Friday night and it's on the telly. But I think the fact that both teams... me and my mates were talking about this, you know, had we not, you know, four games without winning before it, had we won the last three games or the last two or three games, that would have added probably another 2,000 onto the crowd, and then all of a sudden East End would have been jumping. Raith have obviously, as I mentioned, lost their last two games 2-0 as well, so they only brought probably just over 1,000, which is pretty poor for them.
Yeah.
And by the way, Dunfermline have taken stinking supports through Starks in recent years as well, because we've been rotten. But it just feels like both teams, you know, I think there's more positivity at Dunfermline, because I'm looking at that. I think our oldest player was Charlie Gilmore at 25. Really young side. It looks like, yep, they're going to be up and down this season, but hopefully add a wee bit of experience in January and we'll be in and about the playoffs.
But at the beginning of the season, with Lenny coming in there, obviously getting some money as well, do you know, fancy you thought you were going to go and win that championship? Possibly,
but I do think that the start that St Johnstone have had, albeit they haven't won in their last three matches and they got beat on Saturday, they do look strong though. I think St Johnstone looked really strong. Patrick Thistle have been absolutely outstanding under Mark. He's been great.
Yeah.
He's been so good. And I think that if Dunfermline were to finish in the playoffs, I think most fans would be happy with that. That's got to be the target. However, if we pick up two or three results over the next few weeks and there's only, five or six points between us and the top, we're now in a situation that come January, he can spend money.
Yeah.
And he will be given money to spend if we're not far away. So that might change it. We obviously do need experience. Chris Kane is barely fit nowadays. Obviously, Zach Rudden's out as well. Barney Stewart is concussed. So he won't be playing against Airdrie tomorrow night because of the concussion protocols and all the rest of it. But I thought Johnny played really well on Friday night, held up the ball pretty well, gave us an out ball, got us up the pitch. You know, it is a lot more direct we're playing. We're still playing really, it's actually attacking football. We're looking to create chances. And I quite enjoyed it on Friday night. It wasn't the highest quality game in the world, but I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought, you know, the ball in by Robbie Fraser for the second goal was a cracking ball in. Chris Kane couldn't miss. I'm pretty positive.
I think looking at what's going on here, the playoffs would be your best bet. I tell you what, look, you look at these teams, right, in that league, all full time apart from one. Look where they're sitting.
Sitting third, aye.
Incredible. And they go and beat the favourites at the weekend.
Right? If you're the highest part time team, you get the pick of the part time players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes part time players are part time for a reason, i.e., they've got a really good, career outside of football or whatever. I mean, you can probably earn really decent money being a top part time player, more than a lot of the full time players will be earning.
See, if you've got good players, experienced players,
yeah.
Right? You don't need to, and you're in a championship. But for instance, when we won the league at Raith, and I played with the last time, and Jimmy Nicholl was the manager, we were actually like a full time but part time team, right? So every week, without fail, we would play on a Saturday, off Sunday, Monday, we come in Tuesday for an hour and a half, off Wednesday, we come in Thursday for an hour, and Friday for half an hour. And that was our week. every single week, and we hardly lost a game. We hardly lost a game. And the reason being was with good players, right? So Jimmy didn't need to spend hours and hours on the coaching pitch putting us into a shape or whatever. What he done was he picked the shape, he picked his players that knew how to play that, and the experienced one, and he went, right, on you go. That was basically what his team, on you go, go and win the game. And we started off, we remember we played St Mirren, they'd just been relegated for the Premier League, come down, came to Starts Park, and we battered them 7-1. That was our first game. And we went on to win the league comfortably.
Yeah.
So it can be done with a broth. We've seen it. Well, you've seen Dick Campbell.
Nearly. I went in the last game of the season.
Yeah. So,
I mean, a brilliant win for Arbroath. 3-1 against St Johnstone. That's St Johnstone's first league defeat of the season as well. I've been impressed. I was impressed when we played St Johnstone. I thought they looked a really decent side. However, you know, that's three without a win now. Two goalless draws before that as well. They seem, this is the problem, I think. And I think it's a problem all over Scottish football because you play each other all the time. Teams work each other out very quickly, and that makes it, you know, quite attritional when it comes to the Championship in particular.
Yeah, I like the Championship.
It's great.
I think it's an exciting league. I really do. I think there's good football, good entertainment in there. And you touched on it. I think a lot of people, especially I was talking to him in the summer about his squad at Partick Thistle, Mark, didn't have a lot, had a lot of young players, was a bit concerned about going forward into a difficult Championship. They've been absolutely sensational.
Well, I mean, compare that to Ross County, who have spent a lot of money in the summer, obviously Bin Don Cowie as well. They've got a lot of experience in that team, boys like Declan Gallagher, Ross Dockery, Nicky Clark they've signed as well.
Yeah.
And Partick Thistle go and turn them over on Sunday, and all of a sudden, Partick Thistle have a game in hand. I think it's against Ayr United. If they win that, they'll go joint top of the league.
Yeah, brilliant for him. Absolutely brilliant. The big concern is if he can maintain it with the size of squad he's got. I don't think he's got the biggest squad in the world.
Once suspensions and injuries maybe start
that,
playing
that
a part.
Winter, that into that November, December, January, they months really, really, as a manager, and you've got a small squad, you're really keeping your fingers crossed that you don't get, especially key players.
Yeah.
You know, if you lose one or two key players, then you've got a massive problem. You look at, for instance, even at the top, you're talking about key players. Celtic have lost Johnson right back and Jota.
Yeah.
Right? And all of a sudden, they don't look half the team they were. So if that's Celtic and you're looking at Mark's team there, Partick. But listen, ride the roller coaster. He's been absolutely brilliant.
It's been great. It's been great. Goalless draw between Queen's Park and Airdrie. They, it looks like, are going to be down the bottom. Danny Lennon. Do you play with Danny Lennon at Raith
Rovers? Played with Danny, yes.
Obviously, he's in. He's not had the best start at Airdrie. They haven't had the best start at all. They still haven't won a game. They've only drawn four. But a point on Saturday, so a wee bit more positive. As I mentioned, they played on Fairmont in their game in hand at Airdrie tomorrow night. Elsewhere, Ayr United have kicked right on. Again, they had a really sort of wobbly start to the season under Scott Brown. I think loads of folk were probably tipping him to be under a wee bit of pressure. However, four wins at their last five now, and unbeaten in their last six, 2-1 against Morton on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought that would have been a real tricky game for them, because Morton are good, decent players as well.
Well, Morton are just a bizarre side. I mean, they've only won one game, but they've drawn eight.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it? And there have been a few big decisions going against Morton. And I felt for them, because they probably should have had more points on the board.
Aye.
But it's all right saying that. You've got to start winning. But that was a big win for Ayr United.
Yeah.
Because Scott Brown has invested heavily. And, you know, Ayr United are an ambitious club that want to get themselves up there.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of money spent there, their new stand and everything as well. So, Ayr United up to fourth after that win. Partick Thistle in second, as I mentioned, just behind St Johnstone. They do have a game in hand, though. Arbroath been absolutely brilliant so far. Back-to-back wins for them puts them up to third. Raith Rovers just outside the playoffs on 14 points. Dunfermline with their game in hand can go above them if they beat Airdrie tomorrow night. Right, League One. Hamilton seem to be confounding the critics all the time. There are absolute shambles behind the scenes. An absolute shit show. However, on the pitch, another 4-0 win up at Montrose on Saturday. They've won their last four matches unbeaten in six.
Rankin's doing some job, isn't he?
It's great.
And you think back to last year when the supporters were absolutely destroying him.
Yeah.
Week in, week out. He must have hated a Saturday at 3 o'clock because he knew he was getting pelters. The club, as you quite rightly pointed out, is an absolute shock. But it just shows you, if you get a good guy that prepared to put his head down, work hard, And that's what Rankin does. He's a good pro, he's a good manager, gets his players round about him and says, right, okay, look, things aren't great and we just have to go on and make the best of what we've got. That's a perfect example. He's absolutely brilliant. Hamilton are going great. That's a good league as well.
Yeah, totally. Stenis Muir, I was going to say, they're going absolutely great guns as well. Only lost one of their last six, won their last two back-to-back. Beat Cove Rangers, who are having an absolute nightmare.
They're having a stinker, aren't they?
Still to win this season. Five defeats on the spin for Paul Hartley. I think, basically, Cove Rangers are... If Fraser 5A isn't playing, Cove Rangers aren't winning. I think that's probably the long and short of it. He's been out for the majority of the season. Stenny, though, going great guns. Joint top alongside Hamilton, as I mentioned. Inverness up about there as well. But they were two goals down at home to Kelty. They did get back to 2-2, but they'll be disappointed not to pick up all 3 points because Kelty have not had a great start to the season at all. They've only won, two games so far this season. So 2-2 finished up at Inverness at the weekend. As I mentioned, Montrose losing 4-0 at home to Hamilton. 1-1 between Alloa and East Fife. And Peterhead, 3-0 winners against Queen of the South. Queen of the South started the season pretty well, but they have dropped off in recent weeks. Only 1-1 in their last five. Finally, in League 2, 1-1 between Arran and Stirling Albion. It's Spartans who are top after a 2-1 win at Dumbarton. East Kilbride, 3-0 winners against Elgin City. We had Conor Young grabbing a couple of goals for them on Saturday. East Kilbride, obviously, heavy, heavy favourites. You'll know you're in with Si Ferry and all the rest of it. How are they looking? Are they confident?
Yeah, I think they are. And the one thing they can do is they can strengthen.
Yeah.
Because they throw a bit of cash about. They've got good experienced players. They've got a good manager there as well.
There was a wee wobble there. That was four games without a win before Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to have that. And they're going to have it. It's a different style of football, brand of football. It's a lot harder than the Lowland League, obviously. So they'll have to get used to that. But look, they're sitting up there 3 points behind Spartans. I think that when I look at this league, it's sort of a Spartans, East Kilbride are going to be the two teams that will go.
Spartans really well run as well.
Yeah.
Miksu Patalainen is the director of football. I learned a couple of weeks ago.
So, is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is.
I didn't know that.
Edinburgh City, obviously they have had a big points deduction. However, they're on zero. And Stranraer beat them 3-1 at Meadowbank on Saturday. And goalless between Forfar and Clyde. Right, let's go through our pointless teams, shall we? So far, we only have Edinburgh City, Cove Rangers and Airdrie. Pointless teams.
Pointless.
Did you ever have... Were you ever playing or managing and you just had an absolutely shite start to the season and, like, took ages to get your first win? You must be, like, scrambling about just, like, gear us in.
Yeah.
In off somebody's backside, anything.
I know. I had that when I went into Wraith and I looked at the squad. It was all the French guys.
Oh, did you take over for Claude and Elka?
Oh, mate, honestly. This is how bad it was, right? We had a guy that he brought in, and his name was Herbie. I can't remember. Big lad up front, big bustling centre forward. And this is a true story. And I'm looking at that squad, and they are shit. They're dug meat, right? They are, honestly, pardon me, they are shit beyond shit, right? Shit was even better than what these guys were, right? So I've decided, looked at the situation, and the board are telling me, we'll get £1 million. Claude says, we'll get £1 million for a centre forward. And I says, you're joking me. I says, you think you're getting £1 million for that guy there at Canny Play? He is the shittest of the shit. So I pulled him, this is true, I pulled him into my office and I says to him, where do you think you go for here? I says, it's not happening for you, is it? He was in my office 10 minutes. He came in as £1 million player and he left my office as a handyman. He wanted to do the stuff round about the stadium to stay in Kirkcaldy. He knew he was that bad. Right, that's a true story. I says to him, he went, I don't even know why I'm here. He says, because I'm not that good, but I can do. See, I've noticed in the stadium that there's some work name done.
So he became the handyman.
Mate, I says to him, you come in here 10 minutes ago, £1 million player, and you're walking out a £12.50 an hour handyman. Right, it was incredible. That's what I was dealing with.
Yeah.
That I had guys, this is true, I had guys that had never played 11-a-side.
Yeah.
In the squad. It was incredible what they done. They brought them in, and as you're talking about, people underestimating Scottish football. So they thought, right, bring all the French guys over, play them in this championship, we'll sell them down to England, and we'll all get a cut of the money. We'll do that and do that. There's not one player.
I was going to ask, was there not one of them who was any good?
They were dreadful, mate. They were I just used to let them play tig. There was no point. there were no point putting a ball in there, right? They were dreadful. I'm no kidding. I just used to say, look, go and play tig, run chases, and hide and seek. See who can be the last at hide and seek. That's how bad they were. And I actually sat in the office one day and I thought, I'm not going to win a game. Because I couldn't really change them, right?
Yeah.
And I went, I'm not going to win a game. I don't know where I'm going. I'm not even going to score a goal, right? And eventually, we got the 1-1, and that was the story with Sean Dennis against St.
Joseph. Oh, was it?
We beat them 1-0.
Oh, right.
We beat them 1-0.
So you had to play somebody who was steaming in order to get a win. So there we are. If Airdrie Cove, Edinburgh City, if you're listening, get your players absolutely wrecked. That'll probably help you. Right, let's go through some refereeing decisions, shall we? Right, so VAR WTF, this is where we go through all our VAR stuff from the weekend. Nothing much doing. Rangers versus Dundee United. Hibs 4-0 winners against Livingston. Obviously doesn't matter. Montano foul for the Hibs penalty. Yes, no, yeah.
No, I can see it.
Yeah. Motherwell Falkirk, John, you were there as well. Some absolutely shocking decisions
I see
here.
James Bertle Askew was moaning about it after the game. Listen, the side, the first goal he scores, it's hardly a touch on Brad Spencer.
It's a joke. It's an absolute joke, John.
But to be fair, he's complaining about it, but they then go and got the parking score 4 minutes after that happens.
So yeah, that'd have been 2-0.
Exactly.
Well, it would have been. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But
the handball. Yeah. Any?
Oh, that was a. You can see from where I was sitting on the top.
I don't think so. I think you got that one wrong.
Jesus.
Yeah. And obviously, so fortunate for Arfield's goal, because there was, an assault from Brian Graham, frankly.
I can't believe he was complaining about this. There's three Motherwell players around Brian Graham, three of them, and he's complaining about a tug from Brian Graham when there's three players around him.
I mean,
what he should be concentrating on.
A free kick, John. It's a free kick.
A free kick, John. Lucky not to be a red card, actually, when I saw it.
Absolutely no chance.
It was shocking.
What he should be concentrating with Lanarkshire Galacticos is the fact that Arfield was standing on his own. So maybe working on his defence might be a bit better than complaining.
No, maybe the referee doing his job.
Aye, exactly.
We wouldn't have cared about Arfield standing.
Listen, I know that people get things wrong. The referee wouldn't have done it intentionally, but this is where VAR is meant to step in and stop shocking decisions like this happening, because it could have, that really has a big effect on the season.
I have to say, it's the first VAR Falkirk have had go for them in
their entire history. Brian Graham, obviously, I'm guessing the SFA disciplinary panel will be looking at that, to be honest with you. Right, St Mirren Aberdeen, Gogic goal ruled out for offside. He was offside. Red card for Jaden Richardson.
I'm not too sure about that.
Okay, well, obviously.
Yeah. Are you?
No. I thought. Yeah, no, I don't know. I've seen them given.
Yeah, okay. We'll go down that.
Nothing
road.
Much doing for Kilmarnock Hearts and Dundee Celtic.
Well, it shows you the power of VAR, right? Because if VAR's not there, that's a penalty kick, isn't it?
Celtic, of course, yeah.
Celtic are getting a penalty kick, but VAR intervened and it's the right decision, because even after the first replay, I thought, that's a stonewaller.
Yeah.
Look where his hands are.
Yeah.
He gets away with that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he got a wee bit fortunate. But listen, that's sometimes you need a wee bit of luck.
A wee bit of luck.
Exactly. So that's a refereeing decisions. Time to do some Who Dares Wins. Let's do that. So this is where myself and you.
Oh, no, it's not a competition, is it?
It's a competition, right?
Ah.
We're going to go up against each other, and we're going to get a certain topic from John. So, for example, what we had in the past.
It was Brazilians last week.
Oh, yeah, so it was Brazilians. You love a Brazilian, don't you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'd have won that one.
Yeah,
I know
exactly.
A few of them.
You're absolutely. You're never done talking about Brazilians, actually. So,
Can I give postcodes?
So it was basically Brazilians who had scored more than 4 goals at a World Cup. So,
oh, no.
So I was like, I'll go 4. Then Steve went, I'll go 5.
Right.
And I went, right, I'll go 6. And then he was like, right, on you go, try and do them. So you don't need to write them down. It's just... you're playing on behalf of Steve Cowan. It's 4-4 at the moment, so it's been fairly tight.
It'll be 5-4 in a minute.
So whoever bids highest then has to name.
Has to play, right, okay.
Okay, John, what is today's topic?
Well, today's topic, since Scott Arfield scored at the weekend, 13 players over the age of 37 have scored in the top flight since the turn of the century. How many can you name? Stephen, you get the first bid this week.
Hold on, over the age of 37.
Over the age of 37. So Scott Arfield just under it in 36.
I know a right few.
I'll start the bidding off at three.
Three. Shite bag.
Four.
Five.
I think you'll struggle.
I know them all.
Do you want to let him play?
Does. I think.
Oh, you're going to be a shite bag. You're not even. You said you know you're a shite bag.
Have you got five in your locker?
I've got more than that.
No,
you're. But I'm not going to tell you.
Well, go more than five, then I'll see if I'm on.
No, it's your turn to bid.
See if I go six, he's got to go play. You play.
Oh, there you big shite bag!
I don't know. You've got five.
Right, Stephen.
I've got five.
Stephen,
would you let me go if I went six?
Fucking right.
So it's the turn of the century then, Stephen. Five players over 37 to have scored in the top flight.
How long's he got, John?
He's got as long as he wants.
I don't even
There's
know.
No time.
He's chuckling.
Honestly, don't even know.
Oh, I've double bluffed him.
Right, right.
Oh, it's a hard one, isn't
that
it?
That is hard. Right. I don't even know where to start. I thought I had one, but I'm not.
You've got five to go.
Yeah, I know, but I've still got five to go. And I don't even know if this is right. I don't even know if he's over 37. I don't know how old he is.
Are you going to even mess this up in the first guess?
Hold on. See if you get the guess wrong, Jack.
That's right? It out.
Jesus.
Right, I'll go for Brian Graham. Oh, thank God. Right, okay, that's one. Good start. Right, he scored the other one.
Yeah, he scored there against St Mirren, 37 years, 9 months and 21 days.
Okay. I'm so struggling.
You should have let me go at four.
I know, I should have. Right, okay, let me have a wee think. Since the year 2000. Craig Brewster.
Craig Brewster, the oldest on the list, 40 years,
your
9 months,
yeah,
and 9 days, scored for Inverness against Hearts.
That's right, yeah. I'd have got him.
Craig Brewster.
You would have got him, Daz.
Craig Brewster was a tremendous player, by the way.
Listen, I made him.
Yeah. or did he make you?
By the way, let me tell you, he came from, we paid 15 grand for him.
Was he no midfielder?
And he was rank rotten, right? he was in the shite team that I had, right? And for some reason, Jimmy Nicol just one day went, right, play up front with DL. And the two is, oh, what a partnership we became.
Yeah.
I was a better, but he went right on to a better career.
Stalling here, Stephen.
Exactly.
That was exactly the point in that story there. Right, okay. I will go for Davey Weir.
Davey Weir.
That's a great shout, mate. Oh, that's a great shout.
Scored for Rangers against Kilmarnock at the ripe old age of 38 years, 5 months and 30 days.
Oh, that's a great shout. Okay. I'm impressed.
Two more to get, Stephen.
Right.
Oh, what a shout that was.
Aye, I know.
I wasn't getting that, mate.
I don't know where I pulled that for.
Any chance, because I've got something on the set.
Aye, I know. Right, okay. Try just thinking old folk. obviously.
The folk over age of 37.
I know that's what I'm going down. I can't even think. Stephen Davis? Oh no.
One more again.
Cannot believe this.
Scored for Rangers at Ross County. Right,
here we go.
I'm loving your work, by the way. I'm loving it.
One more to get.
Okay.
Johnny, you whispering in his ear?
No, he's not. Right.
Oh, mate.
I don't even know if he's this old. Oh. I think he is, but no, I can't be right.
Who?
Can't be right.
Who are you thinking? But you don't need to lock him in. Who are you thinking? I'll help you.
Right. I was thinking Scott Brown, right? Scott Brown must be on the cusp when he was at Aberdeen.
Yeah.
I remember him scoring for Aberdeen, but I don't know if he was probably just under 37.
No, I think you're down the right road there.
I think you're trying to bullshit
I'm not.
But I'm trying to think he's somebody. Surely there's somebody else who's older, like somebody who's... Right, I'll go... Oh, fuck. Scott McDonald.
Scott McDonald.
Not a chance.
Scott McDonald.
I would have went Scott Brown.
What about if I said Scott Brown?
Oh,
that was wrong as well. Right.
Yeah, so yeah, who were they, John?
What's that? You've got the point. The other ones that you could have had are Kenny Miller. He's a second on this. Scored for Dundee. Russell Latapy scored for Falkirk against Motherwell. Lee Bullen scored for Falkirk against Hamilton. Jermaine Defoe. Ali McCoist is on the list for a goal for Kilmarnock against Dunfermline.
I was at the game. I was. I think they won 2-1.
Quint Hill for Rangers against Hamilton. Chris Burke for Kilmarnock against Ross County.
They're easy when you hear now.
Adam Lafondra for Hibs, and finally Steve McQueen for Hearts. You could have had any single.
Did you
one
got
of them?
Who were you thinking? Was there any of them you were thinking of?
No, no. The only one I was thinking was Brewster.
Yeah.
I probably would have been doing the Scott Brown route as well.
Yeah. Right, okay. Let's try and unmask a footballer, shall we?
Who are you?
So we've got a mystery footballer. We don't know who it is. We can only ask them aye or no questions. Right. So we know that they haven't played for the Old Firm. They're no longer playing. They haven't been a football manager. They haven't worked in the media. And they haven't got an international cap from Scotland. Oh. However, we do know they have played in an Edinburgh derby. So they've played for either Hearts or Hibs.
Right, okay.
So
you ask, did you play for Hearts?
I mean, we could narrow it down even further.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you play for Hearts, mass footballer?
Aye.
So they played with Hearts.
They played with Hearts, okay.
If we get a question right, can we keep asking questions?
No, you get one question.
No, I think we...
You only get one question?
Aye, but I think if we get a question right, we get to ask another one.
Oh, do you? Yeah, I'm just making up the rules.
We're making up the rules.
Right, okay, he's a retired then. Hearts footballer.
Yes.
That doesn't want the media, and okay, he's not had an international cap.
Have you won a major trophy for Hearts? That is the Scottish Cup, League Cup. The Scottish Cup or League Cup? I mean, it won't be a League Cup because they've not won a League Cup in the 60 year. But have you won a Scottish Cup with Hearts?
No.
Right, okay. Oh, well.
Is he a foreigner?
We don't know. We can't ask any more questions now. We're done.
Oh, shit. Are you supposed to get a Hearts player for that?
Well, it goes on from week to week, so folk can suggest the questions. You can leave your comments.
All right, so we don't know the answer then?
No, we don't know the answer. Oh, no, right. We'll find out in a few weeks' time.
Ah, I've got to listen to this podcast.
What do you mean, Dash? You listen every week.
You're listening every week. Exactly. Right, let's finish off with a quiz then, shall we? That's why we've got the boards.
Oh, no, I hate quizzes.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm leading 6-5 this season. So we both get the same question. We write our answers down and then we show it to the camera. Okay.
Oh no.
30 seconds on the clock. If you want to go for a harder question, you can do, and that's worth 2 points.
Right.
So if you're maybe struggling and you need to sort of put the pressure on a wee bit,
many questions.
Topping 5 questions. Each.
Wow, I'm shit at questions.
Right.
You're shit at questions. Right. Okay. Are we ready?
Yep. Here we go.
Here we go. Question number one.
Question number one. Right. Okay. Right. Question number one. And how many Scottish Premiership sides only have one win this season? How many Scottish Premiership sides only have one win this season?
Only one win.
Yep.
How long have we got here?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Only 1-1.
I don't even know.
Oh, no. No. You locked in?
I'm locked in.
You went 5, ain't you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Right, okay then. What have you went for, Stephen Mill?
3.
You've went for 3.
That's wrong. Is it right?
What did you put down?
Bastard.
What did you go for?
4.
4. It was Livy, Motherwell and Aberdeen.
Rangers.
Aberdeen have only got 2 wins now.
Oh, so they have.
So 1-0, Stephen Mill. All right, okay. Right.
Hold on.
What?
You never asked me to show my thing to the camera.
I know, but I could see it. When you put it in, you've got four minus one.
No,
fucking
had
it. Right,
1-0 Right, 1-0 Steve Mill. Next question. Who was the last Scot to manage Celtic on a full time basis?
On a full time basis?
Yeah.
The last Scot to manage Celtic?
Uh huh.
This is wrong.
Have you got an answer done?
I bet shit.
What do you mean? How do you know?
Miles, I don't even know if he managed Celtic.
Well, that's a bad start.
Right, okay.
Oh, I don't! Right.
Right.
Okay, okay, right.
Right, okay.
Well, it was in time, so right, show you're working.
Well, you went for Daz.
Tommy Burns.
And Marshall is saved!
It's 30 years ago. I know, who's the Scots managed?
Surely it's Gordon Strachan.
Oh, I forgot about
that! 10 out, Stephen.
Oh, that shit!
Right,
Dad, I forgot about...
Stephen gets this one right and you get it wrong, you've lost 3-0.
No, he can go for his top bin.
I can go for his top bin.
Yeah, in the top. Next question. In the next question.
I hate this. Right, come on. Right, he's okay. A good one.
The next question. Cameron Congreve, who's currently on loan at Dundee, is on loan from which side? Cameron Congreve is on loan.
Hold on, can I ask for a difficult side?
No, you need to do that.
Hold on a minute, John. Say the question again.
Cameron Congreve at Dundee is currently on loan from which side?
And where's he from? Nationality?
I'm not telling you that. I'm just asking you, he's on loan from which side?
I'm trying my best.
It's much better an English team, is it not?
I mean, surely you would think so. Can I get an answer then? I've got an answer then. It's a complete guess.
I've no idea.
Near there. But I've made an educated guess.
Right, okay.
You go first.
Okay.
Show your answer.
Burnley!
And Marshall is saved!
No, Burnley.
Yes!
Okay.
Daz.
What have you gone for?
Bolton.
And Marshall
both went
saved.
Northwest.
I see what you've done there. It's Swansea City.
That's right. A shit question.
Aye, that was a shite question.
Not even worth talking about.
Exactly. Right. 2-0
Dundee Star men. Right, okay, next question. Here we go.
Okay.
Unless you want to go for a top bin.
Do I go for a harder question for 2 points?
Aye.
Well, let me do my normal question.
Right,
first,
I'll let you do the normal question. Here we go.
Well, if you get normal question wrong, can I get a normal question rather than a top bin?
So no. I lost.
Oh, is it not?
No, okay. So you need to make your decision. What are you going for?
I'm going normal then.
All right, normal, we're both right. Going normal.
Okay. Right, okay. Both going normal. Right, okay. What was the last team Jens Bertel Askew managed before Motherwell?
If you get this, I'm going top bin, John.
You'll have to.
You'll have to.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I think he was assistant manager somewhere, though. He was assistant manager.
I can't even guess, because I don't know.
Well, just write any team then. Any team in the world.
Any team in the world?
Any team in the world. Any team. First team that comes into your head, just write it down.
No.
I'll let you write it down.
Ajax.
Ajax the Motherwell, that well-known route. Right.
If you get this.
Is it Gothenburg?
No, it's no. No, it's no! That's brilliant, by the way. Right, I won. Double top bin. Am I beat?
You're beat.
Shit, that bit of the quiz.
Right, there we go. I've won everything. 7-5 to me. That's fine. I would have beaten Steve Cowan on those questions as well, I think.
Would you? But I got a
Gothenburg! What a fucking shout that was!
That was brilliant, by the way, Strachan. How did I not get that?
Aye, that was a bad one. That was a bad one.
I forgot about him. I got the point on the thing for Steve, did I not?
You did, exactly. So he's leading on that now. So yeah, that's it. But listen, thank you very much. Thanks for all your comments. Keep them coming in on YouTube at Big Football Scott as well. And as we were saying a wee bit earlier on, it's good going to be a big night and big week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, so make sure you've got the guys on from 6 o'clock tonight. Gordon Dale, thank you very much for being with us this week.
It's
been a pleasure. You enjoyed that?
I loved it, apart for that shit at the end.
Apart from the shit at the end, but we leave the shit a bit to the end, obviously, okay. So that's fine. But no, listen, thanks for being here, and we'll see you again soon, I am sure. You're back on Super Scoreboard,
Tuesday, Thursday
this week, alongside the guys. As I mentioned, make sure you've got the guys on, and keep your comments coming in on YouTube and at Big Football. Scott, give us a wee hand with the Masked Footballer as well. Let us know who you think it is. You can have your guess, and we'll maybe try and reveal it next week on the show. Enjoy your week. Another big week in Scottish football, and we'll be back to review it next week right here for you. From myself, Gordon DL, the Sweaty Octopus, producer John, is bye-bye for now. Enjoy your week, guys. Thank you.